crazy week. Can you believe it's November 30th? Like, hang on, because the next few weeks are always crazy busy. So it's so awesome that we can just sit tonight together, stay in one spot, and just enjoy our time together and enjoy our time in the Word. So just to get us started, I'm actually going to kind of do something first, and then we're going to go. So, for those of you who are new with us tonight, we're doing our study in being a true disciple of Jesus look like? And I tell you, this has been quite the journey already, and we're just getting started. I'm feeling that way. I don't know if you are, but the Lord is teaching us some amazing things. So we talked about that a disciple is to abide. And because we abide, because we are in Christ, and we said to abide, we need to stay in Christ. And we made sure that we knew that we are in Christ. That is when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And we know that we are sinners and that he paid the penalty for our sin. And we are now righteous. We don't have a righteousness of our own, but we have a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is what we are in Christ. And this was just a little list I put together last week that you have on your bookmark. If you are new, make sure you get a bookmark from us at the table at some point this evening, because these are just things on there that remind you of who you are, that you are loved, you are redeemed, you are chosen, you are equipped, bought, forgiven, complete. You are a friend of Jesus. You are a daughter. You are adopted. You are an heir of Christ, heir with Christ. You are secure. You are lavished with grace. And I just love that word lavish, don't you? Lavished with grace. Free, anointed, sealed, hidden. You're a citizen of heaven. You are significant. You are accepted. You are strengthened. You are a masterpiece. You are a co-worker with God. You are royal. You are holy. And you are seated in the heavenly realm. Woo! Does that not get you excited? That is who we are in Christ. And we talked about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, so we can never lose. Once we put our trust in Jesus, we can never lose that position. So when we're talking about staying in Christ, it's not that we would get out of that position before him, but it's that fellowship with him. And he says, this is a daily walk with Jesus, because he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So that belief, when we believe in him, it's not just a one-time thing, it's a continued believing, a continuing trusting of him, a continuous reliance on him. So we abide in him by knowing him better. And we get to know him better by being in his word, talking to him, enjoying his love. We keep our eyes on him. We keep our minds set on him, minds set on things above. We are still. Did anyone try something new this week about being still? Okay, maybe you don't want to tell me, but you can share with your life group. So what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to talk with your life group. Okay, there is a lean-in question. If you want to share something about how the week went, just thinking this new idea of abiding. And then there's a question there at the top of your sheet from last week about, from your homework, about what's it like being a Christian? How do you find it? Okay, so I'm going to give you 5 or so minutes to do that, and then we will begin. All right, enjoy. All right, ladies, I'm going to pull you back up here, and we'll get through this, so then you'll have a lot of time to talk with each other and discuss what we're doing here tonight. But I don't know if you got to the leaning question about saying, how hard is it to live the Christian life? Would somebody say that the Christian life is hard? Yes? I totally agree, and I would even go as much to say the Christian life is impossible, and we're going to look at that tonight, because actually, if we do realize that the Christian life is impossible to live, it's actually the most freeing thing we will come to know this evening. So let's just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you that you are here. We thank you that, Lord, you are the one who brought us here tonight. We thank you for your Spirit who teaches us. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege of being in your word. So, Lord, will you teach us? May our hearts and minds be open to what you have to say tonight. Father, would you open eyes and just make these words so clear that your message would be so clear, Lord, of what it means to have Christ in us. So, Lord, we just thank you that you want us to have this relationship with you. We thank you for each woman here. Lord, for this time, would you just guard our hearts and minds so that things that are weighing on us and heavy and laden, that we would just come to you and we would find rest for our weary souls tonight as we just come and we can just enjoy this time together. So, Father, we just thank you for all of those things and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, we learned last week that we abide in Christ because we are in Christ. But when you look at that, every time it said, abide in me, it says, and I in you. And this is Jesus talking. And he does that a few times in that passage we first started looking at the first week in John 15. He said, abide in me and I in you. He who abides in me and I in him, or her, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So it's like, it just kind of flows. You abide in me, I abide in you. That's what happens. But how does this happen? And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And this is so exciting. The Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, we're given this promise. So, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have him in us. But who is the Holy Spirit? He is a person. He is God. Just as the Father is God, as Jesus Christ is God, the Holy Spirit is God. He is part of the Trinity. And he is the one who regenerates and renews us. And that's found in Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, which we talked about last week. It's not our own righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, so that new birth, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we have this person of God, the Holy Spirit, who is sealed in, who seals us up, who is in us, and he pours out the life of Jesus Christ in us. In your homework, and I hope that you're starting to set aside time each day or whatever it is that you can get through it, because that will give you kind of the background for the lesson. And when we were looking at that, there is a passage, and if you didn't get a chance to do it, then maybe you could do it this week. It was one of the questions where it said, what do we know about the Holy Spirit? And there were a whole bunch of verses. And these are some of the things that we learn about the Holy Spirit. We learn that he gives us life in Romans 8:11. So the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. We're made new. That's why we're born again. We have new life. We are a new creation, and that's due to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. What else does he do? He pours out his love into our hearts, and that's in Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given us. He strengthens us with power, Ephesians 3:16, and that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And remember, this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So the power that strengthens you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So when you're like me and you're kind of dragging yourself to get here tonight, and you're like, okay, Lord, you have to work through me. That's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's the only reason I'm standing up straight and tall before you, because it's his power through me. He enables us to abound in hope. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us all things. He reminds us of what Jesus said. He guides us into all truth. He causes me to obey, and he convicts me of my sin. And those are just some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. And that is so freeing, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that lives that life, that gives us life, that gives us love, that gives us strength, that gives us hope, that teaches us, that guides us, that gives me the ability to obey Jesus. It's no longer a set of rules that I follow as a Christian. And that's how I grew up. And I feel like this lesson is a bit of my own story in Jesus, because that's how I grew up. I grew up, I do believe I accepted Christ. I became a Christian at a young age. But I grew up not knowing a lot about the Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus came to live in me, but I didn't know quite what that meant. And so I did a lot of things because I knew I had to. And it was a bunch of rules, like Christians don't do this, Christians don't do that. You know, like that one I said before, you don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with guys that do, haven't you? I don't know, we heard that when we were growing up. You know, Christians didn't go to dances. I know when my mom grew up, Christians didn't play cards on Sunday. You know, you didn't go to the store. All of these things. We have all these rules that Christians don't do. And that's how I grew up. And I went as a student to Cape and Ray Bible School, where Charles and Hillary were from. And that was where I learned about the Holy Spirit. And when all through the course of the first term I was there, I was kind of hit with this idea of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit living his life through you. And one of the teachers gave an example of Jesus, of you digging a hole. You living the Christian life is like digging a hole. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to do some service, and I'm going to invite people to church, and I'm going to do all these things, and I'm just digging away, and I'm doing a good job digging. That hole is awesome. And Jesus is standing there going, you know, I'll dig that for you. It's like, no, it's okay, I got it. I got a good one going, you know. And it was such an eye-opening picture for me that that's what I was doing. I was living the Christian life just following the rules that I thought good Christians did. And I didn't realize there was a power behind it. There was life in that. And Jesus wanted to live it through me. When I sat there one night, and I remember it, I was sitting on the bed, and I was reading a letter from home, and this godly woman had sent me a letter, and she had this special typewriter that wrote, like, handwriting when there were typewriters. Those of you, please say you know what a typewriter is. And she always put a verse at the bottom, and this one was Colossians 3:4, 3 and 4, and we touched on it a little bit last week, but Colossians 3:3 and 4 says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. And it hit me that I died. The life that I lived in the flesh, I died to. The life I lived in sin, the life I lived in my own strength, that was dead and gone. And I had this new life in me. Christ is my life. And that changed everything. That changed how I prayed. It changed how I got up each day and lived the day. It wasn't like, okay, now I have to do this. It was like, oh, I want to get up and read my Bible, because that's how I get to know Jesus. And I actually found my testimony from 20 years ago. I was looking through my notes from Cape and Ray, and I was like, oh my goodness, there is my testimony from 20 years ago. Gasp. Yes, I was very young. I was very, you know, well advanced. That's right. I went to Cape and Ray when I was 5. No. So anyway, I wanted to read you, and for those of you who might not know what a testimony is just a short story of what Jesus has done in your life. And it could be about something that he's taught you. A lot of times it's how you came to know him. And so this was my testimony. My Christian life began as a five-year-old who, after learning about Jesus from my parents and at church, I believed that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins and rose again. At that point, I knew that Jesus was in my heart and I would go to heaven when I died. However, it took a long time as to what Jesus living in me really meant. I grew up going to church and attending all the events, youth group, mission trips, and nothing really out of the ordinary happened until I was 16, and that's when my parents separated. My dad left us, and it was very difficult to accept because in my mind, this wasn't in here, it said add more here, so I'm going to add more here. I grew up thinking good Christians don't go through problems like this. Good Christians, their marriages will never go through problems because that's what good Christians do. And so that was a real first kind of, you know, axe to the tree of what I thought a good Christian was. So I attended university, still being very involved in my Christian life. I led a Bible study. I went on mission trips, but I felt there was something missing. My other Christian friends had such joy and peace that I didn't have. They got so much from reading the Bible and serving that I showed on the outside, but when I looked carefully at myself, I didn't on the inside. It seemed to be a chore, reading my Bible and praying. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. I went on a missions trip and had a great 4 months, and when I came home, I had this desire to continue, but it fell flat. I got caught up in problems with work, problems with my dad, et cetera, et cetera. I think you know what I mean. I went to Bible school this past fall, because it was just yesterday, basically at the lowest point in my spiritual life. But I made an amazing discovery that Christ lives in me. I know I said that at the beginning, but I didn't realize it was his strength working through me that did it all. I have been trying to live my Christian life in my own strength, pleasing others, trying to live up to all the standards in church. And I found that it was only when I yielded my life to Christ to use me that that's the secret. There became a joy in reading my Bible. The more I got to know about Jesus, the more I wanted to know about him. My prayer life improved because I was getting to know the one I was talking to. And I did not write this after last week's lesson. This is from 20 years ago. I just couldn't believe the words here. And my relationship with my earthly father has improved because I don't see him as much as the one who walked out, but as the one who needs Jesus too. Now, all this sounds great, but there are times when my human side takes control and I revert back to doing it in my own strength. But God is showing me more and more to do as Paul says in Colossians 1:29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So that was my testimony from 20 years ago. Pretty amazing, eh? I tried to do it all in my own strength, but we have the life of Christ in us. I think the best example came, and you've probably heard this, and I know I've said this teaching here before, but it just is so clear. There's a story that Charles would say about the man who went to prison, and he became a Christian while he was in prison. And when he came out, he went to church because he wanted to go to church. And in front of the church, there was the Ten Commandments staring right at him, 5 on one side, 5 on the other. And he was like, oh, great, that's all I need, or rules. You know, I've spent this time in prison, and all I had was rules, and now I have rules staring at me, you know, thou shalt not, you know, covet, thou shalt not do this. And as he was sitting there, he started reading them, and something came to him. And he said, because we have Christ in us, it's no longer a command, it's a promise. It's a promise. You will not covet, because I am in you and I don't covet. So if you're letting me take control, you won't covet, because that's not what I do. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, because I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. We will do these things. They become a promise. They're not a command anymore. So awesome, isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit. So when we look at this, we look at what the Holy Spirit does, and we think of abiding. When we talked about, it's knowing Jesus, and what does he say? Abide in my love. Well, look what the Holy Spirit does. He pours his love into our hearts. He already has done that for us. He says, abide in my word. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us his word. So he's the one. If we're in his word, he will teach us. We will abide in that. He enables us to abound with hope. He strengthens us with power. He does all these things that when we're told to abide in, he already gives it to us. It's like this cycle. We abide in him. He does his, he's already given it us his hope and his strength and his love and his power. So really, we just have to rest. We just have to rest. Hudson Taylor, he's a missionary from the late 1800s, and he started the China Inland Mission that became the OMF International, and I think we've had the leader for that speak here. He learned the secret, and they actually, his biography written by his, I think his son, is called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And he was away from his children quite a bit, and he would write to them. And he said, "I wish you, my precious children, knew what it was to give your hearts to Jesus to keep every day. I used to try to keep my own heart right, but it would always be going wrong. So at last I had to give up trying myself and to accept the Lord's offer to keep it for me. Don't you think that's the best way? Perhaps sometimes you think, I won't try not to be selfish or unkind or disobedient. And yet, though you really try, you do not succeed. But Jesus says, you should trust that to me. I would keep that little heart if you would just trust me with it." And he would, too. "Once I used to think very much and very often about Jesus, but I often forgot him. Now, I trust Jesus to keep my heart remembering him, and he does so. This is the best way. Oh, it is joy to feel Jesus living in you," he wrote to his sister. "To find your heart all taken up by him, to be reminded of his love by his seeking communion with you at all times, not by your painful attempts to abide in him. He is our life, our strength, our salvation. He is our wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. He is our power for service and fruit-bearing, and his bosom is our resting place now and forever." So, we have this amazing life in us. But there's always a but, isn't there? We can grieve the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 3:40, and we can quench the Spirit. In Isaiah, that's what the Israelites did. They rebelled and they grieved the Holy Spirit. So when we rebel, when we go on our own way, that's when we grieve the Spirit. The problem is that we get in the way. And since the Holy Spirit is a person, we can't get any more of him, but he can get more of us. So, you've probably all been wondering why you have a little glass of milk on your table. I didn't know if you'd be able to see this as well, so you have your own little thing at your table. And so, this milk is you, because milk, it does a body good, right? So, milk is you, and chocolate sauce is the Holy Spirit. And so, because chocolate sauce is the best. I'm sorry I don't have ice cream for everybody, but okay. So when you become a Christian, excuse me, the Holy Spirit becomes in you. He's a big God. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is in you. Can you see much of a difference? Okay, so at your table, there should be maybe one of you, if you haven't already drunk it, can take the little stir stick and stir up your cup. Because you all have the Holy Spirit in your milk. I don't know if you saw that or not, but stir that baby up. So we have our milk. We have the Holy Spirit in you. And when we start stirring, stir it all up. It's not like the real good stuff, I'm sorry. I got the one on sale. So it probably isn't getting as good old chocolatey as Smucker's would or whatever. But, okay, there we go. Yes, it takes a little bit, but stir that up. And what starts to happen to the milk, of course? It is chocolatey. You can see it. You can see it even through those kind of whitish cups, okay? It becomes evident no matter how you look at it That baby is a glass of chocolate milk, right? And you can see it. Can everybody see it? All right. So, did the amount of Holy Spirit, did the amount of Holy Spirit change? Did I put in more to make it chocolatey? Did I have to get more? Did I have to go back to my bottle and squeeze it all out? And no, it was the same amount, but now that it's mixed in and fills every little milk molecule, if you will, it now is chocolate milk. And when you taste it, it tastes good. Oh, thank you. That is just a small example of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. When we are sealed with the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have every part of Him available to us. But does He have every part of us? When we allow Him to have every part of us, this is what is seen. Did we do anything? All we did was stir it up. We just let Him do His thing, and He filled every part. And what do we see? It's not any of the white milk anymore. It's the chocolate milk. It's what He is. All right? So, but the problem is, we tend to want to keep control. We get very comfortable in our rules. We get very comfortable in what we think. And I was reading a book called, by Jill Briscoe, Here I Am, Lord, Send Somebody Else, which we might all be saying when we do the lesson in January. Anyway, this is her book, and in it, she mentions another one. I'd never heard of her, but her name is Ruth Paxson, and she wrote this book called Life on the Highest Plane. And it's from, like, 1928, I think. And you can actually Google it, and somebody has put up a PDF version of it, so it's on there. She has three studies, get this, one on Jesus the foundation, one on the believer in Christ and Christ in the believer, and the third on the Holy Spirit who indwells, cleanses, fills, controls, guides, and anoints us. Sound familiar? That's these past three lessons we've done. So, she actually gave a list of when self gets in the way. And self here is the flesh. This is the part that died, that we want to die, that tends to creep up and want to take it. The flesh and the spirit go against each other. So she does a whole bunch of descriptions, but her English, it's from 1928, so I made it a little bit more current. I use some of her words, so you can look up this PDF if you want and read her own or get Jill's book. It's really good. So self-will, you want your own way even if it defies and disobeys God. Self-centeredness, it's all about you. That's where you say, enough about you, enough about me, what do you think about me? You know, that kind of thing. You are number one. Self-assertion, everyone is interested and fascinated by you as much as you are. So you put yourself in sight and notice of everyone all the time, and you monopolize the conversation and use me, mine, and I a lot. Okay, we could stop right there and I'd be done. Okay, self-deprecation, you clothe your pride in false humility. No, I can't play the piano like that, even though I've taken grade 10 piano. But you don't like others actually treating you the way you put yourself down. Self-conceit, your world is very small as you live only in yourself. You have little regard for the opinions of others, especially if they are contrary to your own. Self-love, you love yourself exclusively, even above God. Your love is tainted with selfishness, envy, or jealousy, and you trust in your own powers. Self-sufficiency, your self-confidence fosters an egotistical, smug self-satisfaction, so you don't have a desire, sense, or need for anything other than what you already possess. Self-consciousness, you never forget yourself. I had to do this quote because it's like word for word from her book. She is constantly occupied with photographing herself and developing the plates. Okay, this is from how many years ago? I'm like, selfies, people, selfies. And self-exaltation, you are absorbed in your own excellencies. You overestimate yourself and your abilities. You thirst for admiration and praise, and you thrive on flattery. Oh no, stop. Self-righteousness, you are all about moral activities and acts of goodness, like raising money for causes in and out of the church, and you expect a reward for your good works, both here and in heaven. Self-glorifying, you begin to enumerate your own good qualities, your self-control, your sacrificial spirit, and you take all the credit for who you are. So I read a list like this, and don't you just want to like wipe it all off? Because it just feels so gross, and then you're like, oh, that's me. I'm sure we all saw or heard some of ourselves in that list. But what is the truth that we've been learning and will continue to learn is that a disciple denies self. So the Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that is where we have to make that choice. We have Christ living in us and the Holy Spirit living through us, but we have to be alive to God in Christ Jesus, and therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be master of you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So we have to put those, we have to deny self. So all of those self things, self wants to come up and rear its ugly head, and we have to keep pushing it down because we deny self. And it all comes back to abiding. It has to be a daily, moment by moment, trusting in God, his faithfulness, his power, his love. And Jesus didn't just say this, he lived it. In Isaiah 54:5, it said, the Lord has given me, and this is Jesus, the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. So Jesus lived that life, denying self as a disciple. And God awakened him morning by morning to listen. Do any of you have trouble waking morning by morning to listen? I remember hearing a speaker say, if that's how he did it to Jesus, then he could do it to you. If you need to wake up half an hour earlier, which this week, I don't know what it is, but I have slept through my alarm for half an hour. It's been going on. I had two alarms, and I slept through both of them in 2 days. I'm like, this is not good. So I need to pray that the Lord will waken me morning by morning so I have that time in his word. Because there's something about, I know we all have different times that are good for us, but there's something about the morning to start your day off with Jesus, to start your day off to say, Lord, I want to know you today. I want to see you today, and I need your strength today. I need your hope today. Because I know, I just even talking to some of you, even before we started tonight, wow, we have a lot going on in our lives, and it is not easy. And that's where we have to say, I can't, Lord, but you can. I can't deal with my coworkers today. And I say that because I'm thinking of my own today that were so frustrating and got so angry at. But God, I can't do that. You can. I can't deal with my brother or my dad or my husband today. Only you can. I can't deal with the pain of that broken relationship, but you can. I can't do all the things that are on my plate today. They just seem so overwhelming, but you can through me. And so that's what we need to do, to be like our Savior Jesus. Let me just pray. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us your spirit, Lord. You have not left us alone. We are with you. You are for us, and you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so, Father, I just pray for this time that you would just guard this time for these women, that questions will be asked, that there's unity at our life groups, and, Lord, we'll just have a great time in your word. So thank you so much for your truth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.